people are always trying to sell me extra, Tommy.
Extra, like extra ranch?
Extra, extra. I don't want it. I don't even need it.
Yeah, you might need it.
One of my vices is Taco Bell. Have you heard of this place?
Mm-mm.
This is a fast food establishment that serves a mythical creation called Fourth Meal. Have you heard of this Fourth Meal?
Oh, I know the Fourth Meal.
You're aware of this Fourth Meal?
Oh, I believe that I am very aware of the Fourth Meal.
80% of this place's business comes from the hours of 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Is that a true statistic?
I just made it up. It's got to be.
I've never, you know what? I don't eat Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell, but I don't eat Taco Bell.
You shouldn't eat Taco Bell. This is an Americanized version of genuine Mexican cuisine.
The few times that I have had it, and I used to eat it a lot when I was like super fat, it's very good.
It is very good.
It's very good.
It's one of my vices. So I go to this restaurant because sometimes a person absolutely craves explosive diarrhea. That's why I go.
Well,
clean yourself out, you know?
Well, like I did last week.
Exactly. And I always, whenever I go to any of these fast food restaurants, I always end my order with, and that will be it.
Oh, do you?
That is what I tell them. That's the period at the end of my order.
You're the Nathan of the fast food world.
Well, because, listen, now I know that most of these fast food workers are just mindless drones beating in time to the corporate drum, marching in time to the beat of the corporate drum.
Miserable retail slaves?
You could.
Okay.
They're just doing what they're told.
Sure.
But always they try to add on to my order.
Really? They're like, this guy wants another taco.
Yeah. They want to add on to my order because obviously I want to feel like shit, trash, garbage for the next 2 days.
Sure. Who doesn't?
They always say, would you like a drink with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, no, I would not.
Really? You don't get the Mountain Dew every time?
No, I
that
do not.
That surprises me. I will say that when I go to Tim Hortons, I always say, large coffee, 3 creams, and that'll be all.
See?
Because they're always... Yeah, but I don't plan it.
This guy knows what's up.
This is like your script.
This is my script? My fast food restaurant script?
Right.
Yeah, it is.
Like, oh, here comes the guy with the polo again.
Here comes Polo, man. That's what they call me.
Polo Perkins.
Yeah. Always these foods.
That's a good nickname for you.
You like that?
I'm going to start calling you that.
They always come up with some brand new concoction.
Yeah,
that's true. They always ask, would you like to try the brand new caramel-coated Epipito?
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't done like a version of the McRib.
Oh, no, don't give them ideas.
The Mexarib?
The Mexarib.
You know what's coming.
Mexarama Deuce.
Super spicy Mexarib.
The deluxe version. And you're like, what does that even mean? I don't know, but it sounds so tasty.
Would you get the Mexaribs with a knife and a fork?
I would absolutely eat. I would totally get the Mexaribs.
Like, silverware, please. Yeah. What? We've never heard of that.
Well, silverware?
You didn't get a Nacho Bel Grande?
Yeah. Nacho Bel Grande, I'll eat with my hands all day, every day.
You know, you start with your hands.
And then you use a fork? I consider you weird now.
Well, no, you Bel Grande boy. You scrape the thing with the fork.
You scrape the thing with the fork.
What are you doing? Picking up green pepper and cheese with your fingers?
You're out of control tonight.
You don't eat the whole thing with
your
fork.
Don't you dare tell me what I'm doing with my fingers. I'll clean you up with a fork real quick, right upside your head.
Stab me?
I didn't say that.
Well,
I didn't want that on the record.
Brandy?
But I don't appreciate when these people try to jam on food. I know what I want. I know what I need. I said that's all. Listen to my words, people.
Let me tell you this.
People.
Let me tell you.
Go.
I bought a new car today, Randy.
Oh, goodness.
And I told them my budget, and guess what?
What?
$20 over my budget.
Hot gun.
Yeah, they told me what I needed.
They told you. And you took it, though. You took it. That's the difference.
It took them a week. It took them exactly 1 week to sell it to me.
You took it, though.
Yeah, because...
They added on to your order.
They convinced me that it was good for me, but it took them a week. It took them a whole fucking week of frustration.
My goodness. You're part of the problem over there, taking things you don't need.
Well, no, because... Okay, do you want to play a numbers game? Nah.
No, I don't want to play a numbers game.
I kind of needed what they... I kind of needed it.
They just had
to explain it to me in the right way.
Just like you needed a caramel-coated Epipito, too, I'm sure. Don't you spill that coffee, boy.
Not on this wonderful carpet.
Oh, goodness. Tommy, this was the cold opening. How do you feel about this? Well, served up fresh for you.
Oh, thanks. Like, you're not welcome. Like this Beantown coffee.
Yeah. Would you like Beantown. Some Would you like some D-Boy with that?
Sure.
Like I said, you're part of the problem, man. Drop that beat, D-Boy. Put it in.
We're drinking summer shandy on Thursday. We so motherfucking out here, though. We never been this out here. Woo! So strange when it's changing the speed. What you know about Lynyrd Skynyrd? So whack of the intro, the hot of the verse every time, baby.
Working like a working man do. Got my act together, gonna walk all over you. Pressure pushing down on me, pushing down on you. Shit, let's raise the roof. Woo! About time, it's the era of the rebels. Cloud nine and the air up in the vessels. Generation fearless, got a taste for weirdness. Flow on fire, that's the way my beard is. Hard times, jump starting the grind. It's all good, y'all. Things fall apart sometimes. Let it go, let me know when you're ready, though. Don't push me, cuz until the edge, I'm close. When the time comes, ride for something. Or live to be 90, then just die for nothing. Speak their heart, your baby, speak their mind. And I'ma play their part, and I'ma freak that rhyme one time for you. Rhyme one time for you. I'm an island, man. There ain't nothing else by me, man. And I drink enough whiskey to float a battleship around this bitch any motherfucking how.
Welcome to the Miserable Retail Slave Show. We're coming to you from the Pod Shack outside beautiful Flint, Michigan, USA. My name is Randy. Terrific Tommy's over there.
Hey!
He's the happiest boy alive today.
Terrific Tommy. I like that one. Oh, my God. Terrific Tommy, good times.
Oh, yeah. He's just the jolly green giant over there today. Tommy bought me a cherry Pepsi, and I paid for him.
Yeah,
and
you did. I didn't ask for it, though. I wasn't going to argue.
Yeah, but you really took that $2, didn't you?
I swiped it fast.
That's incredible. That's amazing to me.
That's $2 towards my new car payment.
That's insane to me that you would take that. That's unbelievable, really. Like, you didn't even really offer to pay for it for me. You just kind of took that money.
Hey, man, I handed you the Pepsi. I didn't say anything. You handed me $2.
You're kind of a greed over there.
Oh, really? I should just bring you things, King Randy?
Well, yeah.
I wasn't going to ask you for the money.
I would call it a sacrifice more than anything. You know, I have to sacrifice dealing with you. You can sacrifice some of your finances toward this direction.
I gave you the chance to cancel.
Are you kidding me over here? Our ancestors immigrated here over ferocious seas.
I don't know my ancestors.
Filled with krakens and dragons with nothing in their pocket other than a half a straw penny and a grit to succeed no matter what, and they survived, and you're over there all broken up over $2.
Nope, the only ancestors I know that I have are Native American. You can't trace my other ancestor.
Native American. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
You don't know my mom's maiden name?
Whoa, I'm afraid to ask. It's going to be something offensive, I think.
Big Trout?
What are you even saying?
Big Trout.
What did you just call your mom?
Oh my God. It's actually Trout, but it was Big Trout. Like, but they changed it to Trout. Yeah.
Wow,
like
that's so insane.
Yeah, she's Cherokee, man.
Whoa. Like a Jeep.
Yeah.
Christ. Yeah. Can I call her Big Trout right to her face?
She probably wouldn't notice because it was like Big Trout.
Because you made it up, didn't you?
No. Okay. Her legal maiden name was Trout, but it came from Chief Big Trout from Cherokee, North Carolina.
This seems like a tall tale, Pecos Bill.
No, she would have got college for free.
Well, why didn't she?
Because she just didn't. I mean, back then you didn't really know. I don't know if you could have done it back then.
Okay.
You know, in the 70s? Mm. I don't know. I missed it by, like, I think I had to have been. I missed it by one generation. Free college.
My God. Do you give your children earplugs to shield them from your tirades over there? You're just.
Thanks
the most,
a lot.
The most negative
Big
man.
Big Trout.
Big Trout.
Right.
Big Trout. Big Trout.
What's that band?
What's cold been? Chamber.
Cold chamber.
That's a big
truck.
That's a big truck reference.
I knew what you were doing. I knew.
All you hip cats out there.
Me loco. That was my jam back in the day.
I'm feeling like the crap shit again today.
Yeah, you said you're all full of snot.
Oh, I got so much snot. Yesterday, I had zero of a voice.
Really?
Really.
Oh, why couldn't we have planned this for yesterday?
I know, man. I tell you what the worst thing that people can do when you're sick.
What the worst thing? I like that. That sounds like a book title.
What the worst thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The name of the Jim Blossom CD.
It probably is.
I read about that guy. Which I didn't know he killed himself, the guitar player that wrote that song.
Oh.
They kicked him out of the band before the song was like big, and then he had to drive around listening to his song playing on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, ended up killing himself.
Well, that's ironic because he was jealous.
Mm.
Jealousy.
Well, is it really jealousy when it's your song, though?
I don't know. Yeah. Was he getting paid for it?
No.
Why?
I don't think so. They kicked him out of the band before they made a hit out of it.
Yeah, but he wrote it.
Yeah, so maybe he was getting royalties. Either way,
I need you to snope your facts over there before you start speaking.
I don't know if he was getting royalties, but I know they kicked him out of the band before the song was famous.
Yeah,
he wrote it.
The worst thing that can happen to you when you are sick is when people ask you, "Is something wrong?" I'm over here oozing and dripping and sounding.
Oh, god damn, that was disgusting.
Well, I'm like a human plague over here. My god. And you ask me if something's wrong.
Penicillin Perkins over here.
Yeah, I really want to plug one nostril and shoot a steady snot stream straight at their dumb faces for saying such a thing to me.
You should totally do that.
Yeah.
See if you survive.
Is something wrong? Lord help you if you admit that you're actually sick, because you'll get zero sympathy.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You're a grown-ass man. You got a cold, Randy. A cold. Oh.
You got a cold heart for not having any sympathy. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Tell me you're dying. I might wince.
You might wince. Pete Wince over there. Go marry Ashley Simpson, Fallout Boy douche.
Bronx.
Yeah. None of the universe's sympathies will fall on you.
Not for a goddamn cold.
Well, then why are you asking what's wrong? That's my problem. You ask what's wrong, I tell you what's wrong.
And you shouldn't even let a cold do anything to you. You should just live with a cold.
I am living with a cold.
But it's really tearing you up.
You've
inside.
Been a virus in my life for so long now. So many years now. They're all so curious like George, and all of a sudden, they have no time for the I'm sick narrative, and that's nonsense.
1820s?
I'd be dead.
Oh, my God.
I'd be dead.
Yes, you would.
I would have died.
Somebody would have stabbed you through the heart the minute you go, I think I'm feeling under the weather.
Consequently, you would have been dead about 15 years ago. So
why?
Why? All the mead you'd be drinking? Give me a goddamn break.
Hey, so for my bachelor party, how late did you stay?
Oh, we'll get to your bachelor party.
Okay. Yeah. Talk about me drinking a lot of mead.
Wow.
I started at 4:30 and you were still going at 11:30, you animal.
I was an animal. I mean, you know what? I was partying because it was your bachelor party, Tommy. You hit it right on the head.
But it wasn't really a bachelor
party.
Well,
we'll
was
get
it?
To it. We're not going to talk about it right now. Tommy, today is a very special episode, and do you know why?
I don't.
Well, I'm about to tell you. Today, it's probably going to be the greatest day of your life.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Setting myself up for disappointment.
No, because guess what, Tommy? It's your podcast bachelor party. Oh, yeah.
Where's the beer? DJ Perkins, huh? DJ Penicillin? Yeah. Is that what we call you? Look at that. I'm throwing my hands up.
I got mad skills.
Oh.
Damn.
Hey.
It's all from popping now. It's both lit and popping.
Podcast bachelor party. I like.
Tommy, I don't have any beer, but I do have shots. Do you want to do some shots, Tommy?
No, I ain't doing no shots.
Come on, I meant flu shots. I can't afford the hourly rate of a real nurse, but I did find some lady outside Halloween USA that just bought a sexy nurse costume, so I'm sure she'll do the best job for your flu. You're old now. You need some flu shots. You need to be healthy for your goddamn wedding.
Mm. What if I have a cold, Randy? What would I do?
Just pray nobody asked about it, because they'll have no sympathy.
Shoot man. Everybody with my snot. I like it. Shoot your snot.
Shoot your snot, man. Shoot that snot.
You need to shoot your shot.
Well, that
you
was
need to shoot your shot.
Dr. Penrose.
Yeah. This is happening. You're getting married.
Yeah. Yeah, in 3 weeks.
I just bet the beloved has divorce papers all filled out other than the date. She'll leave that blank. She's just waiting for the moment to turn those in when you do something asinine.
Why would she? I don't have any money. She's not going to divorce me.
What does money have to do with anything? It's not.
That would be the only reason why I think she would. I mean, I don't.
Other than get you out of your life, her life?
No.
I mean, that's usually the main reason people.
We're in love, Randy. Oh, we don't boy. Do that to each other.
Love.
Yeah.
What a beautiful thing, this love.
Yeah. You've been listening to the 80s power ballads, huh?
I have been. It is your bachelor party. I've got one more gripe, though.
What?
I have, oh, my voice has a problem. I have a problem with these doorway hustlers. I don't appreciate them one bit. They have to hustle right to these doors is what I'm talking about. When you're in a store and mm-hmm. you're trying to leave and they are hustling to the door.
Yeah.
Hustling. And I'm talking that these doors that are used for the entrance and exit, one door only. I'm not talking about doors both ways. I would not go the wrong way through a door. I'm not a lawless savage, Tommy. Are you following what I'm saying?
You go your own way?
I mean, if you walk up to a door and you're leaving and there's a man walking in too, oh, man, it's such a big, big burden on their lives.
Sure,
Because
yeah.
you're occupying the space they want to be in.
That's correct.
They huff and they puff.
And they blow your house down.
They do. How dare you make breathing noises towards me, sir?
The doorway hustlers. I like it.
In fact, how dare you even breathe? Your breath smells like Slim Jims, and I don't appreciate it, sir. So today, this happened to me. This man with this mustache. I'm not even sure he had a mouth. All I could see was a mustache. Hairy mustache hole where his mouth should have been.
Okay.
That's all I saw. He says, come on through to me as I'm trying to walk out and beckons me to come on through.
That's a weird word.
Oh, what a gallant sir beckoning me through.
For real.
What a polite dandy. I was going to walk through anyways, so don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And two, how dare I delay your quest for chewing tobacco and scratch off lotto tickets.
That sounds fun.
How dare I make you pause for 4 extra seconds. Might as well put me in front of a firing squad. How dare I live this life having made him wait?
Where was this at?
Oh, it was at the establishment of Nathan, the best gas station attendant in the world. Oh, and you have a good day now.
Yeah, you went there today. Okay.
I didn't.
I almost did, but I didn't. I went to a different one.
I mean, he was visibly impatient with me. And I just want to say, slow down. Where's the fire? That's my new phrase. That's what I say to people now.
Hmm.
Where's the fire?
I like that. Yeah. Challenges them.
Yeah.
Mm.
And to this man, I want to say, maybe if you were nicer, sir, karma would be on your side.
Oh.
And you would scratch off that fucking lotto ticket and maybe win more than $1.
Well, don't make him cry.
Yeah. As it is, I hope that silver scratch-off dust flies directly in both of your eyeballs. And you have to use a penny to scratch them off to see again.
Well, there you go.
And you don't know where those pennies have been.
Hmm.
The bottom of a wishing well, probably. I threw it there because I wished you to get silver dust in your eyes. It all comes back full circle. Are you following along, Tommy?
A little
it's your
bit.
Bachelor party, for crying out loud.
A little bit. I'm here.
Oh, my God. You've been such a bummer today. Well, what was that?
It's been better than it's been better.
You
than
sounded
a few
like
days
you,
before.
You got your tail caught in the screen door there, buddy. Jesus yeah. Christ!
It's a better day than it has been lately, I guess. I finally got the new car. I mean, that's okay. I don't like it, but
you don't like it.
I don't like it.
You got
it's small.
One. So, being that it's your bachelor party,
mm-hmm.
I went ahead and asked some of our peers in the podcasting community to record some well wishes for you.
Great.
What do you mean great? These people love you and you're saying great.
Great.
Great, you say.
Go
How
ahead.
Dare you?
Lay it on me.
Man, you're such a sourpuss. I don't want to. No, this was going to be a fun thing and you're
it's
over there.
Be all, oh, party. Woohoo.
Man, you're just the worst person anymore. Ever since you got married.
Yeah.
getting married. Since you put a ring on that finger, you've just been the worst person.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. You're not a good dude.
Oh, well, thank you, Randy.
You're welcome. Here's some marriage advice. And usually we talk over people, but I don't think we're going to do that this time. We're going to let it play. So here we go. Are you excited?
Mm.
Okay.
Hey there, y'all. It's Juliet Miranda.
And David the producer.
From the Unwritable Rant podcast, and we wanted to give Tommy some valuable advice going into his marriage. So we came up with the top five things that we think will keep any marriage strong.
The first one is, Tommy, after you get married, you can still date other people. Sure, it takes a little getting used to, and you might get a frying pan against your head every so often, but these days it's totally okay.
I think you should keep separate bank accounts and credit cards. This way, you can go through life in sweet oblivion, and you will never know exactly what your new bride is spending her money on, whether that's man whores or takeout. We like to call that marital bliss.
When you get into an argument, call a timeout, breathe deep,
and then ask your lady if it's her time of the month.
Or just yell at the top of your lungs until your wife realizes you're 100% right. And if that doesn't work, just pout like a little bitch.
Never, ever, ever get mad if your new wife checks out some other guy's ass, or package, or whatever. You see, she's gonna do it, so just accept it, embrace it. And you might even want to call out, hey, sweet ass on that guy. It'll make her feel better about her decision.
And the final advice is, keep lots of booze in the house.
No, really. Lots and lots of booze.
Trust us on this one.
That being said, Tommy, we wish you nothing but the best. Happy marriage.
Good luck, buddy.
How about that?
I like that. That was very nice of them. Thank you, guys.
They're from a much bigger podcast, and they got better things to do, but they're a fan of you and this podcast, so that was sweet of
them. They're great. That's the Unwritable Rant?
Yeah, the Unwritable Rant.
Yeah, that was really nice of them. They have very good podcast voices, don't they? Yeah.
That David producer has the voice of a god.
Yeah, his voice is like perfect.
His booming voice. It's like that scene in Private Parts, the Howard Stern movie. I just want to straddle the speaker when he talks and enjoy the ride.
Now, they're married, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's to each other, even.
Oh, yeah, but they date other people. I heard it.
I love that old Saint Nick laugh you gave. Oh,
very hearty, huh?
It was a hearty, hearty laugh.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're happy.
Oh, all of a sudden, that's all it took. Thank God. Thanks, David and Juliet, for making Tommy a happy man again.
That's very nice.
Goodness. I can't believe you're getting married. I mean, when I met you, you were such a punk. You had the most outrageously big spikes. And your ears were gauged like the size of those lip plates in an African tribe. You're just the most gawkiest man.
Yeah, I did have the Wayne Static spiked hair and the
you did have the Wayne Static
in the plugs.
Oh, you were all plugged, so plugged, butt plugged, ear plugged, nose plugged, hoop
unplugged,
unplugged.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Shit.
I still got the holes for the plugs. You see them?
Yeah, you're permanently scarred from your poor decisions.
It's okay. I don't mind holes in my ears.
Okay. You have one in your heart when it comes to me. And it goes all the way to China.
You built it.
On rock and roll. Oh, no. Stuff don't work. Podcast Bachelor Party. Tommy, I saw this on CNBC.
CSNBC?
CSI Miami, I saw this.
Okay.
Millennials are wasting home down payments on bachelor blowouts. Millennials spend an average of $1,532 on a single bachelor party.
Wow. I don't know what my bachelor party costs.
About $5 is what I'll tell you.
No, because I know my tab was 55.
Oh, goodness.
And if you times that by the 8 or 9 people that were there, that's pretty good. I bet you it was about $400.
Yeah, that's not $1,532.
No, that's ridiculous there.
Yeah. Oh, millennials. Most y'all are a mess.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Fill your vape pen with all your sorrows and inhale deeply. Give me a break with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think yours cost significantly less than that.
Oh God, yeah. I wanted mine to cost zero. So
you wanted it to cost zero because you're in a potty potty boohoo emo fuck mood.
Yeah,
I wanted you anything, Tommy.
Well, when you're on the road all the time, living your dream, you know, you just want to.
Why don't you sing a Journey song about it? Okay. Why don't you do that for me?
No, it's been crazy though, man. I've done a lot of comedy lately and working the two jobs.
Oh Christ, you're living your dream.
But my dream isn't also to have a day job.
Well, that's you quit, you know?
Well.
I just gained
another $50 a month on this stupid car.
Gained another 50 pounds too.
No, I've actually lost weight recently, Randy.
From sorrow and despair.
Maybe.
That's what crying all day long does. It's a calorie burner.
I think it's just these massive shits I've been taking. It's probably
that's disgusting. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of massive shits.
Hey, Tommy. It's Ranty. I've got just one small piece of marriage advice for you. I know you and the beloved have probably been sleeping in the same bed for a few years ever since you played possum on her front porch. But now that you're in the bed and you've said I do, one fundamental thing is going to change. And that is you are never, ever, ever going to see another square inch of that comforter. So, my advice to you, if you guys are sleeping on a queen size bed, get a king size comforter. Already sleeping on a king bed, buy two of them on your next trip to Bed Bath & Beyond. Because marriage entitles her to 100% of everything, including the sheets. So, make sure you bundle up with your own separate blankie. And by the way, you knew Landau wasn't going to be able to make it, but you still sent him an invitation. Where the fuck is mine? Asshole.
That's our best friend, Uncle Ranty,
yeah.
And you didn't send him a wedding invite.
Oh, man.
He lives all the way in Rantyville, I know. But
yeah,
maybe he would have.
I guess no comment. Sorry. That's all I can say. It caught me off guard.
That's our podcast best friend, the Ranty Basket, from Welcome to Rantyville.
Still love him.
Yeah. Not invited to a wedding, but, you know.
There's a lot of people that I should have invited, now that I think back on it.
Yeah, probably not.
I see why people just go down to the courthouse and don't tell anybody.
Yeah, I wish you would have, honestly.
Yeah. Part of me does, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking forward to, like, the food.
I'm getting married because of the food.
Well, I mean, I want to be married, of course, and you know.
You gonna drink at this wedding?
No,
no,
no, God, no.
You guys have an entire room full of booze, though.
Oh yeah, we have tons.
I can't wait. This is gonna be
great. It's gonna be great for you guys.
Uh-huh.
I might have like one or two,
yeah,
but I mean nothing like absolutely like drinking. Okay. No, nothing like my bachelor party. Holy shit.
We'll get to that. Vows. Have you written vows for your beloved? Are you going to write vows?
No, I don't think so.
Cool. I'll do that for you.
I think the Monsignor is.
I'll do that right now.
Yeah.
I actually took the liberty.
Randy's wedding vows. Oh, I'm sure the beloved will totally approve.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is for you. You can tell her that you wrote them.
Oh,
I
right.
Mean, it will sound
start,
like it have
had
come
off our marriage with a huge lie.
No. No. Just fudging the truth a little bit.
Lying.
Where do I begin and you end? We're just the same being. Two sides of the same coin.
No, I'm a better person than you.
No. Like, I'm the head, you're the tail, obviously.
I wouldn't have brought a woman to your bachelor party.
Okay, you know what? We'll get there. Here's the vows, Tommy. And you're welcome to use these. I might cry when I do this,
okay,
but I'll try to keep it together.
Okay.
Try to be composed. Try to be a radio profesh. Dear the beloved, I apologize in advance for my irrational behavior. For example, when I break the 234th cell phone of my life, I'm sorry, but I will shout, "That's it! I lost it!" and flop to the ground for an epic tantrum time. Your patience is appreciated. Thank you for taking me into your life as I am a scrubby trash person, and you have improved my life magnificently. You never get mad at me when I eat all the cheese and peanut butter in the house, so you're cool. Finally, I'm glad you are marrying me, because if you're not with me, I'm like a salad without the cheese, pointless and empty. The end. I do. Okay?
You should send that to her.
Yeah. She should listen. You know, how about that for a plot twist?
I don't know if she'll ever do that.
Yeah, well, it's probably for the best, you know? Let's do another one real quick, and then we'll talk about the bachelor party that was.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. This one is from Nick from Epic Film Guys.
Oh, I know Nick. Yeah. We're Facebook friends now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Facebook official.
Mm-hmm.
Your friendship exists in real life. He's a frequent member of the Facebook group.
Yeah, so, that's why we became friends.
Join that on the Facebook, Miserable Retail Slave Facebook group, and make fun of Tommy all day, please. Thank you.
You know, Randy asked me to record something and give Tommy some advice for his new life, his new journey, his two roads become one. The two tips of the candle touch that big decorative candle, that shitty, stupid thing that, you know, people will light and then they'll put in a fucking cabinet for 50 years and never look at it again. I hope you're not doing the candle, Tommy. If you are, it's stupid and you shouldn't do the candle. But yeah, what can I say to the world's most worthless skin sack on this, the eve of his wedding, the eve of his wedding, fresh out of his bachelor party, where I'm sure that so many shenanigans were had. Fuck all the details, man. Especially for your wedding night, especially for the wedding day. Fuck, just have fun. Fuck everything else. The time for planning is over. The time for worrying is over. The time for like stressing out about every last little thing and trying to stress out about every last little detail is over. Fuck it. Enjoy your food. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your family. Enjoy dancing. And if the beloved can stomach looking at you for long enough, enjoy, you know, the night of your wedding as well. I've been married for about a year and a half now, and it's been fine. It's not without its challenges. Communication's a big one. So Tommy's fucked because nobody speaks Tommy's kind of language. You know, it's always a really kind of tough thing. You know, I mean, you guys have been living together for a few years now. She's already seen you do stand up, and she's already, you know, heard you on this big dumb comedy show. So she already knows how much of a disappointment you are. So there's not much more that can really come out of that. And I have to imagine I hope she hasn't waited until the wedding night for that first time. Cause man, she's going to be disappointed. So yeah, she has endured everything that you could throw at her. She has weathered every storm that is life with Tommy Thompson, comedian extraordinaire, one half of big dumb comedy show. And she's still there. She's still sticking by you. So you got to lock that shit down, because if you let this one get away, it's going to take you like 20 years to find another one. Randy's going to be divorced twice by the time you actually find another one if you let this one get away. So lock that shit down, man. In all seriousness, though, congratulations. Like I said, have fun. To hell with all the details. There are other people wandering around your wedding who are going to harangue and worry about all the stupid little details of the wedding day. Just, you know, you focus on you and you have fun. And no matter what, as you go forward in married life, you're part of a team. You're part of a duo. You're that lit, ornate candle, that big candle in the middle of the room. But you're also you. You got to keep being you. Keep being true to yourself and to each other. That, I think that's the Jerry Springer thing. I can't steal that. That makes me feel so sad. So yeah, this is Nick from the Epic Film Guys, and yeah, congratulations.
I sucked a dick last night.
And that's Justin's way of saying congratulations as well.
Well, that was very nice. Thank you, Nick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked his final thought there.
Yeah, he did have a final thought. Yeah. Tommy is
laughing. Nice,
Timmy over here is laughing at these. I turned the volume off. Usually we do talk over it and make asses, but people like, you know.
They put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know. Podcast Bachelor Party. Oh, this is a weird dubstep. Kind of makes me want a seizure to the ground or something. So now I guess it's time to talk about your actual bachelor party, huh?
Yeah, I guess if you want to. You brought a woman to it?
Okay. Listen.
Who does that? Who brings a woman to an all-guy bachelor party?
What are we, the Little Rascals? What do we have, the He-Man Woman Hater Club?
Yeah.
No girls allowed at this bachelor party in a public place, right, at a bar. Not to mention that you're... friend did it first.
Yeah, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Yeah, exactly.
They stayed for like 10 minutes. So.
Yeah, so did she.
Right.
It all works out.
Yeah, right.
And we'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, great.
Yeah. But first, I want to talk about this woman that you had ghost adventures with, because this is amazing to me.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. I don't want to talk too much in detail about it, but that was a weird thing. I'll just say a girl that was at the bar that kept trying to buy me shots, and I didn't want to do shots. I think I was buying you and Mr. Bachman a beer. Didn't I buy you guys a beer at one point during the night?
At the very end of the night.
I went up to the bar and I was doing that, and she said, well, she looked around for the guy that she was with, which was weird.
Yeah.
And then she's like, where's he at? Where's he at? I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, he's in the bathroom. Do you remember that time we went driving, we left the bar, and we went ghost hunting? And I don't remember that at all. And she had this story about going around, and there was another girl there, and we were looking for ghosts. And I don't know.
Is ghost the name of a drug dealer or something?
No. She was saying that there was an actual... I mean, she's obviously has me confused with somebody else, but I was too drunk to really even talk about it, so...
That seems like a ghost hunter adventure you'd go on.
I just kind of walked away.
Man.
I mean, there are a lot of things in my 20s that I don't remember doing, so... But I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I don't think I would leave the bar with two girls that I don't really know. I don't think I'd do that.
Okay. I know. You're not a man.
Right.
Why would you leave the bar with any girl? Why would that happen?
So that was a weird thing. That was a weird thing during the night. And then, yeah, other than that, I think it was just I don't know. It was okay. I mean, I had fun.
A lot of your friends showed. Some of them didn't, which was weird.
Yeah. Mm. But that was okay. I mean.
We got to the bar, the pub, which was your hangout for a long time.
In my 20s, yeah. That was my place.
And. Right next to us, which is completely representative of the pub, were two older women, probably in their 50s. One of them who was just slush mouth Mary over there. She was just slushing slimy, juicy words out of her mouth, just slurring all over the place.
That's awesome.
Everything that came out of her drunken mouth was just a slish slosh. It was disgusting. Like, do you come with subtitles over there? What is happening? How much have you had to drink? So, at a certain point, my BFF, Laura, came.
Yeah.
And so I meet her in the parking lot.
Right.
You and I think Keith were out there too, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I meet her out there because when I invite somebody, I like to meet them, greet them, walk them in, walk them out.
Oh, wow.
I'm a gentleman. Yeah. Is what I am.
Okay.
So we go in, and she sits down across from me, and I stand up to get a drink for her, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I hear a Mambo Number 5 man off to the side say, "Why are you sitting at this table?" I'm like, oh, no.
I love it, actually. He called it out. He's like, why is there a girl at Tommy's bachelor party? He's kind
of
right.
These bars are just dens of villainy.
Yeah.
That's what they are. So what he proceeds to do
I don't recall any of this. I don't know if I was paying attention.
No, I think you were off doing something else.
Okay, yeah, so this I don't is remember gonna, any
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, because you acted all like you didn't know.
So. Yeah, I didn't know.
So
it's Randy's story.
I guess so. So I'm sitting there trying to have a conversation with her, you know, and he's just staring and leering and gawking with his little beady rat eyes. Yeah, so we're talking, and he interrupts abruptly to introduce himself to Laura. Okay, whatever. And we start talking again, and all of a sudden, he challenges her to an arm wrestling contest.
Which I think is awesome.
Like, that's how you win a lady's attention right there. You go over the top like you're Lincoln Hawk. Bester in a feat of strength. It was less Lincoln Hawk and more Lincoln Park, because in the end, it didn't even matter. Like, what are you even trying to do? You know, Keith was right there, my faithful companion. He saw the whole thing.
We were buddies.
We were buddies. You know what? Oh, do you remember this outside?
Oh, I don't know, maybe.
Oh, okay. So this was the first time I saw Laura in the regular world since our date, other than a FaceTime call on this podcast, right?
Okay.
So I wanted it to go well because I was excited to hang out with her.
Uh-huh.
So
at my bachelor party.
Yeah, that's right. At your bachelor party. It was just a random spontaneous thing. Your ideas are outdated, old man. Get over it. If your friend didn't bring his girlfriend, I wouldn't have even invited her. How about that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right. So we get out there, and you pulled a stunt I haven't seen in some time.
What did I do?
Oh, my God. When Tommy has been drinking, he becomes so righteous. Tommy's drunken finger waggle of justice. Like you're scolding me like a schoolboy.
Well, what was I saying?
You go. I mean, it's the first time I've seen this in quite a while, so I was pleased as punch.
Okay. Oh, no, you're good.
So you start waggling your finger, and you said, "You just want to date her." And I said, "No, that's not true." And then you started to poo-poo me again, and Keith jumped right in and defended me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. And he said, "Things are different when you're 35, Tommy."
I remember that.
You do remember that. And he's completely right. It's so hard for me to make friends right now at age 35. And I said then, and I'm saying it now, sure, I'm open to it, but I don't care either way.
Uh-oh.
Because in some ways, having a friend's better.
Okay.
Yeah. What we really need to start is an online anti-dating app.
Really?
Because like I said, when you're 35, it's hard to start. It's hard to make friends at this age. Can we just start this community? I want to start this community. I want to be so rich with this idea because I think it's necessary. Call it the friend zone. Immediately, all hope of romantic interaction is thrown out the window. You're forced to actually become friends with a person.
Sounds terrible.
Doesn't it, though? Just people to converse and hang out with. If something organically happens, then all right. But you know what? If you start to get too sexual or whatever, you're kicked off the app. Friend zone. Boom.
Okay.
Boom.
I can see that. I mean, that's what you want, though?
What?
You just want to? You want a bunch of women as friends?
Oh, I don't care at this point. I've fully given up on everything. I mean, what hope do I have? If Tommy gets married before me, it's over for me. That's how I figure it. Here's some wedding advice from a familiar voice. The voice of a god.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night. This is Dr. Penrose from Penrose versus Anybody. What's up, Tommy? Hey, man, I hear you getting married. Congratulations, first off. Marriage is a very big step. And only a step that can be taken by the legally insane and or those of us who are extremely deeply in love. So to you, man, I say congratulations. I toast and tip my hat to you. When I hear you talk about your fiance on the show, you talk very highly of her. And she must be a very phenomenal woman to be able to put up with somebody like you. No, I'm just joking. I really do wish you the best. I hope that life in marriage is amazing. The only small tidbit of advice I would give you is you got to let this Randy guy go, man. He's cramping your style. I mean, he can't get a date. When he does get a date, he scares the chicks off. He's looking for CBT at the local mall. I mean, he wears cargo shorts and that god-awful voice is hold on 1 second. What'd you say? This isn't Tommy's voicemail. This is for Randy's show. What the fuck you told me I was leaving? You told me I was talking on Tommy's voicemail. Hey, Tommy, scratch all that shit I said about Randy. Randy's fucking awesome. Have a great life and marriage. Stock the Penrose. Penrose versus anybody. I'm out.
Well, the beloved Dr. Penrose.
Yeah, yeah. He needs to be on again.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have people on it again.
Well, thank you, so. Dr. Penrose.
Thank you, Dr. Penrose, for your lovely advice, Dr. Penrose.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick little short little...
Okay.
Yeah, well, I love how your enthusiasm. You're listening to the Miserable Rejection Sausage, baby.
Give what haters say. All I did was stay the same. Cut the fat, came to rage. Cut to black on the crazy train. In wheels off. My dope in, let my scalp peeled off. Skills saw with the pen I brought on Dow D. Boy, y'all gon' learn about that boy. He go hard. Ben Wallace. 10 haters got 10 Wallace. I came broken. I left ballin'. That's no joking. That's George Carlin. I'm here. Ain't that a fact? The pit boy, I kick it like Pack-a-Lack. We the rap pack, you a pack of rats. Get tracked in the crack like aw, oh, snap. Kush packs, crack a patch. Blowing up to the track collapse. What a white girl with the fattest ass. Break the ice, you catch a bash, you fish in the barrel. Hood hippie apparel. See me on the beat like Christmas and Christians with carols. And it's the radical, tactical, magical, sagittal, suture splitter. Future spitter, boo. Here's a cheers to new beginnings. Boo the ripper, yeah. He who do it different than you. Who is this ludicrous rhyme I'm spitting? Is written so smooth. When I seen some hustle money, sure. I've been ballin', getting buckets in the hood, homie. Say what you would about it. I know you thought you could, motherfucker, but you ain't cut like that. You's a bitch like that. You ain't from my cloth. Put the city on my back. Put that city on the map. You in my city, making that.
All right, Tommy, this is Jake, and that's Tom.
That's me.
This is a special little thing just to you.
So, Tommy's getting married next month, Jake. You and I've both been married, what, you just had your, what, 15th anniversary?
16th year anniversary, yes.
Yep. And I'm at 17 myself.
I thought you were longer. I thought you were, like, almost 20.
No, it just feels that way sometimes.
Yeah. No, as between the two of us, over 30 years veterans of being married, we're about to tell you is you're going to have this great adventure run that you will finally get a chance to experience. Run like hell, that you will get to be able to have experiences that a non-married person can never have. Try crossing the border.
Now, the great thing about marriage is that you guys are going to know each other in ways that nobody else on this earth knows you. And you're going to continue to learn about each other. And you're going to continue to abuse and manipulate each other with that knowledge. Because I love my wife, but she can say things that nobody else can say. And she gets away with it because she's my wife.
And their memory. My wife has an amazing knowledge of things. You know, she's a very smart person. I always say she's one of the smartest people I know. But she forgets the most weird things, like the food I hate. She always forgets that. She'll always suggest to have something that I absolutely despise.
Well, let me guess. As soon as you say something that reminds her of something that pissed her off back in 1997, you immediately hear about that.
Specifically, 1998, when her and I were just dating, she put on this two-piece bathing suit. And, you know, my wife is not a tiny woman by any means, but she's very, you know, wasn't still in very good shape.
You didn't make the mistake of being honest, did you?
Yes. In the early days, you forget this stuff. And she said, I look fat. I look like a cow in this thing. I goes, honey, you look chunky at the most.
I would take chunky.
Yeah, I would love to be called chunky. Chunky yeah. is, in my opinion, in the scale of fatness, chunky is the lowest level of fatness.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, you're also looking at it from a point of view where we're supposed to say, no, honey, you look great. Why don't you wear things like that more often? That's yes. a rookie mistake.
Yeah, well, I was a rookie. This is pre-marriage. After being with my wife for, actually, now think about it, her and I have been together for over 20 years now. Because I was 19 when I met her, and I'm 39 now. So, yeah, 20 years her and I have been together.
Now, as far as any kind of advice that I can give you, listen to each other. be patient with each other, and drink.
Yes,
drink like
forget
a
that
fucking
bullshit
fish.
Tom just said, except for the last part. You'll need to learn how to drink. I suggest in your home you find somewhere where you can go and be alone and just sit and drink. I like to do is I like to drive home, and I like to get like a half a mile away from my house, and then I know you shouldn't drink and I know you shouldn't drink and drive. But every now and then, and I don't do it anymore because I live in town, but back when I used to live in the country, I would get like a half a mile from my house, and I would just like park and sit and drink for a good half hour, 45 minutes before actually going home. It really helped when he walked in that door.
So what you're saying is that Tommy's drinking, it's going to move from a casual, good time type sort of thing, in it's going to go beyond a hobby and into almost like a lifestyle.
Yes, it should be a way of life.
All right. Well, good luck with you, Tommy. We're pulling for you, man.
My last bit of advice to you, and this was actually advice that was given to me on my wedding day.
Run.
And yes, run. Actually, no. There's another one, and this is a one that I'm sure you've heard before. It's a very common saying, but I'm gonna say it again. It's easier to say I'm sorry than ask for permission.
But no, Tommy, in all honesty, I've known you personally for about 15 years. I'm really, really happy for you. I've seen the difference that this lady's made in your life. All kidding aside, marriage is by far the best thing that's ever happened to Jake and myself. We love our wives dearly. I'm very, very happy for you. I'm very happy for her. I'm probably maybe wishing her more luck than I am wishing you. Because let's face it, she's the one who's got all the hard work ahead of her. You're just kind of benefiting from all of that work. So, Tommy, on behalf of Jake, myself, my wife, and all of our friends, congratulations, and I can't wait to see you guys at the wedding.
I did know what he says, except for the part of knowing you, because I don't think we've ever met.
No, you'd remember him, trust me.
Podcast Bachelor Party. How's it going?
Yeah.
That was from Jake and Tom.
That was very nice. Conquer Thank you, the guys. World. Very entertaining and very nice.
Tommy, I was thinking about it. What's a bachelor party without strippers? I mean, what is it?
I hate strippers.
Oh, I'm going to do you a strip you'll never forget.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So instead of actual strippers, because I know you find women to have all the cooties, and they're the grossest things in your eyes. Other than your beloved, of course.
Right. Well, especially strippers.
What do you got? They're fine women trying to work their way through school or provide for their families. What's wrong with that?
That's a very nice way to look at it. Yeah, but I don't look at it that way.
Yeah, you don't. You're very, very old-fashioned boy.
Yeah. I'll take that.
Yeah.
That's I'm conservative in some ways.
Okay. So this is what I saw on the interwebs. This is a Las Vegas strip club slang.
What?
How hard was that to comprehend, Tommy?
Las Vegas strip club slang?
Yeah. Do you know what slang means?
It means not an actual word.
It means not an actual word.
Like lingo?
You know the word lingo, but you have a rough time with slang.
No, I just... is that the name of the strip club? I don't get it. I don't get your wording, your phrase.
Lingo was the drummer for the Beatles. Slang is the guitarist in Guns N' Roses, okay?
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Say the sentence again.
Las Vegas strip club slang you'll never need to know until you do.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Like slang you'll use at a strip club in Las Vegas.
At a strip club on the strip, you understand?
I got it.
With landing strips, probably. Oh, hey, girl, here. So these, I've never heard of these. We're only going to go over a few of them because you're just antsy, man. A McDance, Tommy.
A McDance?
McDance.
Oh, wow.
Like a McNugget.
Sure.
But a McDance. It's a perfunctory dance done with an extreme lack of enthusiasm or imagination. So if the stripper is completely bored out of her mind.
She's giving you a McDance.
You're getting a McDance.
That's dumb.
That's worse than a McRib. Yeah, you should always show enthusiasm in your job.
Just the word's dumb.
I said enthusiasm. Weird.
Yeah.
What does that do for your self-esteem when you're getting a McDance? She's like bored and crying right in front of you. Jesus Christ, what do you do then? Yeah. Whale, Tommy. The term whale in a strip club has the same meaning it does in a casino. It's slang for a customer who spends big and takes advantage of a club's VIP room for long periods of time. Hmm. Here comes a big Moby Dick coming this way. Goodness.
So whale's a good thing.
Whale's a good thing.
For the strippers.
For the strippers, yes. Hmm. A Game Boy.
Okay.
Game Boy is what strippers call a customer's manhood. So if you're in the champagne room and they're playing the Game Boy, that's a good thing.
What? I don't get slang. I just don't get it. Why not just call it his manhood?
Because that's weird, Tommy. That makes me gross.
Just call it his wiener. I don't know. I mean, like, why do you got to have little stupid nicknames for everything?
Because they're strippers and they see a lot of gross men, so they're probably got to come up with games to amuse themselves and fight back the terror.
Hey, it's their choice.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not their choice.
They're being forced into it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They're providing for their family. See, you're being an old fart now.
They probably don't have families.
Oh, now you're being just the rudest boy.
You think the stripper goes home to her husband and tells her, you know?
Yeah.
Really?
She might.
Well, maybe. I bet you there's a few.
Yeah.
But not statistically.
Oh, tell me your stripper statistics, please. Wow.
I don't like strippers. I don't like a lot of people anymore, but
you don't like any people anymore.
No, I'm still very much into people.
You finally come over to my way of think he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah. No, I'll never get away from that. Unfortunately,
a 7-Up factory, Tommy, is a strip club where all the dancers are particularly attractive. In other words, they rank 7 or better on a 1 to 10 scale.
Oh, I see.
7-Up factory. 7 or up.
I see.
Man, though. Do we really want to settle for a stripper that's at a 7? Is that what we're there for? Boltons are called breast implants. Boltons. Yeah. Chum the waters. The strategy of tipping generously onto a stage to receive more attention from dancers for the rest of the evening.
See, I don't think these are real.
Oh, I guarantee they're weird. Why would you poo-poo this? Why would you think they're not real?
Well, first off, you would have to spend a lot of time in Vegas strip clubs to get to learn all these.
Yeah, if you're a stripper, you would probably know all these. Correct. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay? Wow, you're just it's your podcast bachelor party, and you're just the meanest boy today. You don't show any appreciation for anything, first off.
What?
And, yeah, you just don't want to hear this. A Hurl story, Tommy.
A what?
Hurl story.
What's that?
It's an obviously manufactured sob story told by a stripper to elicit a more generous tip.
Oh.
Sometimes called a mercy tip.
Okay. Those are definitely real.
Oh, you're okay with Hurl's story, but everything else I said.
Oh, the stripper lying to you? Oh, yeah, that's definite fact.
You speak from experience, it sounds like, Tommy. This is weird.
I've heard stories.
You've heard stripper stories, eh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You need more advice, Tommy.
Okay.
You're going to get through this somehow, buddy, this marriage, and our peeps are going to help you.
Hey, Tommy, it's Mark James and
Rick Mancrush
from the Poop Culture Podcast. Congratulations on tying the old balloon knot. So we're going to give you a mini showdown of tips for the newly married man. And of course, the first one has to be always, always use plenty of lube. Gotta use the lube, man. Lots of it.
That's an excellent choice. Now that you're married, you definitely have to use the lube, which leads me to another thing that you definitely have to do now that you're married. And that's never pull out. You're not in fucking high school anymore. Just bust that nut right inside of her. If you pull out, it just kills all the romanticism.
That's right.
Just blow inside, man.
Yeah, it's just going to lead to an argument if you pull out. You don't have to feel obliged to pull out. All right, so for my next one, you know what, man? You're married. You can fart now. Everybody knows that. As soon as you're married, that's it. Just let it go.
She won't mind. If she does, fuck it. She's already married to you. And most importantly, Tommy, above all else, marriage is like owning a gremlin. And there's important rules that you need to follow. Like, don't feed your Mogwai after midnight. This is up there with that, okay? Always, always delete your browser history after you're done.
I mean, I don't think you ever had a problem farting in front of your beloved, right? You just let it rip every time. Disgusting pig. Is your microphone even on?
Oh, there we go. No, yeah, I never had a problem farting in front of the beloved.
That's awesome
ever.
How you turned that off.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I don't know why I did that.
I don't know why you did either.
Definitely an accident.
Just, oh, God. This is from Big D from the Brorons podcast. He's Daryl in our Facebook group.
Okay.
Hey, Tommy, this is Big D from the Brorons podcast. You probably don't know me because no one with any sense listens to our show. Anyway, I heard you were getting married, and as a man who's been married 75 times, I want to offer this piece of advice. But seriously, you may want to do that. All jokes aside, take this sage-like wisdom from a guy whose bank account has been wiped out more times than Minnie Pearl was gang-banged by the Hee-Haw All Jug Band.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Hide your money in a separate account that she doesn't know about. I mean, seriously, that's just good financial advice. I'm just kidding. I hope you have a long and wonderful marriage, and may all your children be born naked.
Well, thank you, Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl and Cindy both are in our
that was
Facebook
funny.
Group. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun.
That was a hoot, huh? You're tired.
A hee-haw hoot.
A hee-haw hoot. Oh, boy. We got one more, but first, this has been the Miserable Retail Slave Podcast. I hope you go ahead and join our Facebook group. Also, go to the iTunes.com. Leave us a 5-star positive iTunes review for crying out loud. We are part of Nerdopotamus.net with a bunch of great shows. You should check those out. Also, we're members of the Couch Party crew. Love those guys. Mixed Feelings was at the LA Podfest this weekend, and they did good, I guess.
Oh, so good for them.
Good for them with their success while we're still slumming it over here.
Our day will come.
Our day will come. God damn it. I'm shaking my hand to the sky, and I pledge. I want to take this time to thank David and Juliet from The Unwritable Rant.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Nick from Epic Film Guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Rick and Mark from Poop Culture.
Yes.
The Ranty Bastard, as always. Thank Dr. You. Penrose, thank God damn it.
Tom and Jake.
Big D, Tom and Jake.
Yeah.
And finally, thanks. Matty F. He's got some words of wisdom. He does sound like a Muppet right now. He's having voice problems. Like, I don't even know what's going on. I saw him
going
in real
through the voice transformation.
He is. I saw him in real life, and he started talking to me, and I said, I hate your voice, and I walked away from him because I couldn't stand it. I'm like, is your voice going to be like this forever now? Is this just how it's going to be?
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I guess. He becomes a dad, and all of a sudden, he's got stern dad voice. It's crazy.
But this is what we're ending on?
I think, well, yeah, we're going to listen to this, and I might add something else, and then we're going to call it a good night.
Okay.
Hey, Tommy, it's your best pal, Matt, from Let Me Tell Ya. Randy reached out to me and told me that you were in need of some marriage advice, and I figured since I'm on the heels of my second wedding anniversary, that's right, the cotton anniversary, I could give you some advice. And since my wife and I just had our first child, a daughter, I figured I could also repay you for the sage fatherly advice you gave me on a previous episode. So, here we go. First of all, you gotta make it fun, you know? Be fun. Make your wife laugh and she'll always love you. Maybe jingle some keys in front of her. Make her laugh. But for real though, at least for me, the one thing that surprised me is that it doesn't really feel like much changes, especially if you've lived together for a while. So, my actual advice is just keep doing what you're doing. Also, communication is key. Even the best relationships can fall apart because you don't open yourself up and communicate with the person that's most important to you. So, it's very important to give Randy as much attention as possible during this difficult time. It's going to be a big change for him. And as for the wedding itself, there's going to be a lot of people there. So maybe fit in a read for the show into your vows or hand out some business cards or stickers. You know, promote the goddamn show for once in your life. Congratulations, Tommy. I assume my invitation's still in the mail.
Well, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, geez, you should. Can we promote the podcast at the wedding?
Sure, why not?
Why not? This has been the Miserable Retail Slave Show. I hope everybody...
What song is this? What's this?
I hope everybody enjoyed it.
What do you get when you take Godzilla?
We'll see you next week with a bunch of hilarity, I'm sure. And Tommy... I'm proud of you for getting married. I hope you appreciated your bachelor party and your podcast bachelor party, you son of a bitch. I'll give you a noogie and a wedgie later, okay, buddy? We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.